to Exodus chapter 33, and we ventured into last week this beautiful moment of God's heart, really. We know that in this section we've spoken of that we're getting to, Moses is going to have his heart so ravished, he's going to say, "Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory." But you know whose heart was ravished to have that heart say that. See, that's what I'm saying, is that we know this is the working of the Lord. This is the passion of our God. It was so sweet because last week as we left off on this journey to see the glory, it got our attention because we saw in verse 14 of the 33rd chapter that hidden message of the glory that Moses really was about to see. God begins to speak to him and present this to him. And he says that beautiful thing in verse 14. He says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And we saw that word presence, there's a depth to it that means the faces of the cherubim. And once again, brothers and sisters, these are beautiful stories in themselves. They're beautiful acts of God in themselves. They're beautiful testimonies of the ways of God. But brothers and sisters, there's a depth, there's a hidden mystery that has been written all throughout the Word of God. That it said that these prophets, Moses being one of them, they wrote these things for us. Amen. Think about how much isn't written about their lives, if you will. How many other events? And you know, in the Word of God, it says there's not enough time to say. There's not enough ink. There's not enough pages. There's no volumes that could contain it of all of the mighty acts of God. But these were the ones that, if you will, the very Word of God, of these hidden things that were written for us. And I thank the Lord that, he hasn't come yet. That trumpet has not blasted. That day has not started. He knows what we need. And he more than us wants to reveal it to us. And in depths and heights and breadths and lengths. And to have that heart as a Joshua, there's more land. It's not more truth. The promise is the promise. You get that? The promise is the promise. The bridal message is the bridal message. But there's more to see in it always. And I think this is such an example of Moses. When he gets to this point, as we'll see tonight, he doesn't even realize what he's asking for. But God knows exactly what he's going to give him. And I ask you, as we start this, I mean, as you started to see the bridal message, think about when the Lord first proposed to you. Is it anywhere near where it is today in your lives? It isn't, is it? It was almost like you saw the glory of the bride. Oh, it's incredible. I get this. And the Lord's ministering to this to me. But then you really realize that it's you. And then you begin to see about the glory. And then you begin to see the mercy. And as I was just rejoicing the other day, the more in depth of mercy we go, down and down, it lifts us and puts more of those riches of his glory in the heights. Amen. Depths of his love and heights of his love. Amen. And then everything in between and infinite, praise God. So it's so sweet. Isn't it wonderful that we get together to talk about him? So once again, the presence of the Lord, the glory that's going to be shown to the faces of the cherubim. And the rest that he'll give him, the place where the camels lie down. I think it's gorgeous, isn't it? You know, we are to rest, are we not? That's what it is. It's a rest. It's a rest. It's a confidence. It's a confidence in the guide, the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a confidence in that love that he continues to minister to us, that we're assured of the love of our bridegroom. We're assured where the Holy Spirit, where that journey is going to end. It's going to end, if you will, in a field that we see. And that raven-headed lover is going to be bobbing up and down there. And it could be the last hill tonight. I don't know. But I'm expecting it every day and throughout the day. Because there's many hills sometimes in a day. The Holy Ghost covers a lot of ground a lot of times, doesn't he? But sometimes we wait. But sometimes we're moving at this speed beyond the speed of light. Praise God. Now, he's building this in us. And it keeps getting better here. In verses 15 and 16, let's go ahead and read those. And he said unto him, and this is Moses speaking back to God after God tells him, my presence shall go with thee and I'll give thee rest. And he says unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that that goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now this is very noble and it's very important. The Lord is encouraging. He's about here to agree with Moses and give him his request. But Moses is honoring God right here. But the Lord is wanting more with Moses, and Moses still doesn't realize it. That the Lord is interested in something personally with Moses. Yes, he is. And that's what's leading up to this point. Remember, this is all about God showing Moses his glory. And I really do believe that Moses had no idea this was the very desire of God's heart to share this with Moses. This is the grace and mercy that God wanted him to take. This is the grace and mercy that God wants us to take. So let's go ahead and read verse 17. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. So he answers him. He says, I'm going to do this, son. Don't worry about it. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Isn't that wonderful how he answers him again? The Lord agrees concerning those people. He affirms it to Moses, and he tells him why. And why? Because you found grace in my sight. And I know you, and that really should read personally by name. It's intimate. It's not just a name. He knows you. He knows your thought afar off. He knows the hair on your head. He knows you in the womb. And just as if, you know, as I mentioned, and I am, sometimes people might have, well, what does that really mean? Where I said, God saw Moses in that basket. God saw Moses so divinely, he had his mother care for him. God spared Moses. All those baby boys died. Do you not think that Moses knew this at a young age? Do you not think that his mother ministered these things to him? You'd be silly not to. This is why I'm telling you, the presence of God with him all of these years. And I'm going to tell you something. It's just like I've testified to you about my daddy before he knew the Lord all those years. All those things divinely that God did in his life and directed in his life. Because he foreknew that heart. And he did it with every single one of us. Bringing us to that point where we would even take him as Savior. That appointment that he knew us in Christ. In ages past. And whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Your life is a predestinated life because of the foreknowledge. Because of the foreknowledge of God knowing that you would receive his son. And that is breathtaking and so romantic to the passion of our Father and the greatness of our God. And it should cause us to rest. Even the very rest where the camels lie down. Amen. Praise his name. So, we're grateful that the Lord continues to remind Moses, as Moses has been reminding God. Honey, you found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. See, Moses has already said that to him a couple times in the last five verses. And the Lord repeats it back to him to give him that comfort. Isn't that kind of what lovers do? I love you. Well, I love you. But I love you. And I love you. And this is this love, see? And he's just telling him, honey, I got you. And how sweet this is to hear. And once again, this is all about grace and mercy. Because it's all about grace and mercy and nothing else. Moses couldn't do a thing to gain favor with God. Because grace already gave him everything. Grace had already given him everything. He pleased God by believing that grace had given him everything. Amen? Isn't that why you go on with God? Because you know that he loves you. You know that his promises are true. And you believe in the one that you know that loves you, even in the natural. We've talked about that many times. Parents that love their children have confident kids. Children that aren't loved oftentimes aren't very confident. And you need to continue to have that love. And saints that know the love of God are confident kids. They're confident in their Father. They're confident in their Savior. They're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They settle in. No, my dad said it, and it's so. Amen. And I love that. That's that. Dad said it. That's that. Don't you say that, because that's not the word. Praise God. So this is how it is, and I'm thankful to God that I am full of that believing. But brothers and sisters, the word of God tells us just the same. What's written out on those steps, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Moses' whole life is about? And to this, really, if you will, this penultimate time where he's going to see the glory of God. It's grace, son. It's just grace. Praise God. And so, that's why to us, go on over to 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let's get a little bit more encouraged about our life. As it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and I know many of you already know what this precious verse tells us. And it says there, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And that means super abound toward you, not just kind of abound, super abound. So God is able to make all super abounding grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that superabounding grace means that you take more grace. And when you take more grace, what happens is you become bold to ask God according to his word. Amen. You ask him according to his word. I think early on, by the grace of God, we begin to understand, and we continue on, don't get me wrong. We ask God for our needs. Lord, I need healing, or I need you to take care of this situation. I need you to do this. And that's a wonderful thing. And it says to cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Amen. We should always be in prayer. And what? Praying about everything. Amen. But then you begin to ask God in his ways. You ask God in what delights him. You begin to ask God in what is, if you will, his good pleasure. And it's a beautiful thing. And see, that's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. Amen? Because that's the Holy Spirit that gives us utterance how to pray. That's why we need to know the truth. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. That's why he brings all of those things to our remembrance and in our uttering. And even that, sometimes, isn't that wonderful? We can just rely on even the language of the Holy Ghost, speaking those mysteries unto God. And how marvelous it is. And what a comfort that is to us as well, too, because once again, that's faith. But in taking grace, we get more bold to ask him. We converse with God. And then what grace does, it begins you to be very bold in what God has said. That you literally go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. I'm getting bold in obtaining mercy. And I love that. I don't go in there, oh, I need mercy. No, I want mercy. I'm going for mercy. Because your grace tells me, I've got it all. I've got all of it. And oh, what grace and help I find in my time of need. And that is what is so beautiful about this walk with God. And I'll tell you what, I am so confident in grace that the word of God becomes real to our lives, that we know that I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. He can't help himself but to give me what I need. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And that's it. That is how wonderful this word is. It convinces us of his love that it's all mine. It's all mine. And it's already been given. And I thank God I take it by faith in his love, by faith in grace. And we thank God for this. Now, never forget this, that God knows you. Never forget that God knows you by name. And that is glory, because he knows his glory. His sole intent, let's go on over to Romans 9:23. This is his sole intent, which we seem to preach every time we get together, because we sure love to hear it and we sure need to hear it. But matter of fact, let's read verse 22, because I want us to really understand this. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So we know that he understands that there's going to be vessels that are going to be fit for destruction. Absolutely. But thanks be to God, we moved out of that and into this life everlasting. And then not into just life, but abundant life. Life abundantly. In verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So that's why I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, he knows his glory. Because his glory is in Christ. That's how he saw us. He saw us in ages past in Christ. Know that. Once again, he loves us. But he loves us in his Son. He loves us in that life. The beauty of, yes, that foreknowledge of he knew Jesse. But he knew Jesse in his Son. And let me tell you something. That's the only way you want him to know you. Because that's the only life, once again, that God can look upon, is that beautiful life of his Son. That's why, once again, Galatians 2:20, that life lives in us. Christ liveth in me. So we are vessels prepared afore unto glory. So God's glory way, we know, is all over the Word of God to encourage us. The Word of God tells us, as we're reading here, to show us his glory. As we know through the Apostle Paul, to make us his glory. We know also through the Apostle Paul in preaching, it's from glory to glory. And as we read just here, his vessels of mercy, that he is bestowing the riches of his glory on right now. Praise the Lord. So let's believe it. Let's believe this, because God said it and so wants it, that we would even be that glory descending from heaven. Having that glory of God, because there's only one glory, and that's the glory of God. And it descends for him, because that woman is the glory of the man. And this is how clear the Holy Ghost can make this. And I pray that it becomes more, as Brother Copley used to say all the time, that cookie on a low shelf. That you just reach it, and you eat it, and it's just bam. And as you read the Word of God, and I know this is happening for all of us, because this is how God does it. The things that he stored, it's not here, but stored in your heart. As these things begin to come, they just set off, you know, fireworks and geysers and other things. And, you know, he's just the great, you know, he's one. But the great connector that he continues to bring all of these thoughts. And you may have known something for years that the Word of God testified to you. But then the Holy Ghost will bring it together. Magnify it. Line upon line. Amen. See that line upon line in your life. And what does it build? The masterpiece. That's what it is. This masterpiece of the word of his grace. Now, let's go on back and read verse 18. Exodus 33. It says there, we get to this point. This grace now triggering this, if you will, the heart of Moses to blow like a geyser. Now think about what we just read. I know we kind of got off there for a little bit. And it was a wonderful path we went down there, but back here to our little text. He's thinking about his people, isn't he? He's thinking about the people of God, and you know, the Lord to do this and the Lord to do that. All of a sudden, out of the blue, look what he says. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I can see a big smile on the face of God. He waited eternities, if you will, in a lot of ways, for that moment with Moses. He foresaw that for him, that moment that would come from his lips. And once again, I read it and really read it in context. And then even afterwards, he didn't even know what God had put in his heart. It was just, I love you. You know, I adore you, Lord. I want to see you. Because of this faithfulness, it finally hit him, this meek man that was so meek. Oh, God, I can't do this. And I've got to have, I can't speak to these people. You've got to get me a mouthpiece, you know, and all these things. And yet God would show him, and God knew his meekness. And then finally he just blows. Show me. I'm sure it shocked Moses himself. What did I just say? Has God ever done that in your life? You know what I'm saying? That's that out-of-body experience, if you will. It pulls you out of who you thought you were to, oh my goodness, I'm in love. I'm in love with you, Jesus. And you put this in my heart. And it's so true because it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And this gets me to think so much about the heart of Esther. She had confidence, but yet she was going to ask, wasn't she? And she was going to ask once again, who was she going to ask for? Her people. But what met her? Oh, honey, I've been waiting for this appointment my whole life. I'm madly in love with you. The king saw her. What's mine is yours. It had to shock her because she wasn't in there asking for that. Just like Moses. It shocked him what came out of his mouth. It shocked her what came out of the king's mouth. It is. It's the half that hasn't been told. It's all of those things. It's just beyond. And I think this is so beautiful because you've seen how the Lord has courted your life. Think about the things that you're asking him now and thanking him for now and praising him for now. And I'll ask you, how many years many of us have walked with God? To come to this point, to where he puts that in your heart. Yeah, this is pretty cool. And I love seeing this in my brother. So it's a beautiful thing to have confidence in the grace and favor of God. And what happens in our lives, brothers and sisters, is this love, this incredible love, gets us to know that we could never ask too much of him in grace. We could never ask too much of him. Ruth and Boaz. all of those Gentile brides. They got it. This is mine. Nothing's stopping me. And really, I'll say it like this. It would be stupid for us not to ask. When we know what we know, when we know what we know, unbelief is downright stupid. It's stupid. Don't draw back, draw nigh. Don't let the enemy try to get you to back off. Go on. Get more bold. Amen. And God will show that boldness. And often in ways you didn't want to see and see about yourself. After you've known such great truth. But God will get you bold. That's why I love David so much. I love him. And Christians have not learned, before thee and thee only have I sinned. He got it. You're the only one. Even if others knew, it's still only you. And you love me. I'm your choice. I'm God's man. I pray not one of you would bristle hearing that. Because it's the greatest defeater of those that would win him. Because that will still be the shred of self-righteousness you could never let go of. And it's the truth. It's the truth. Oh Lord, help us to see how beautiful your mercy and grace is. And that's the only beauty. See, brothers and sisters, we need to quit trying to be humble and praise him for the mercy, and then you will be humble. And then you'll get the grace. That's how it works, because he gives grace to the humble. You love it. It was the same with Tamar. It was the same with all of these Gentile brides, as I just mentioned. I know I got him. I know he loves me. I'm not ashamed. I'm going in. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. That's great. You know, and isn't it, it is, it's so true. And isn't a love affair just between the two? Why does everybody else have to get involved with my love affair? You have your own. You know what I'm saying? Leave us alone. I'm going to listen to my lover's voice. You got the same one. But if you don't want to listen fully to him, that's your problem. By God's grace, I'm going to listen to him. I don't need any of the chatter. So I know what he tells me we are to him. And I pray for all of us. Praise God. Now, it's because of the grace in verse 17 that we read that grace commands more faith in us. That's what grace does. Grace commands in your life. Grace commands more faith. That's what brings you faith. It's grace through faith. It's that grace that gives it to you. And it's a wonderful thing as the grace of God grows in your life. You'll believe more. You'll take more glory. As Moses came to the point, show me thy glory. And once again, I will have to tell you this. They had already seen the glory of the Lord in the cloud. Yes, they did. It spoke of this earlier on as they were in the wilderness. They saw the glory of the Lord in the cloud. But this is show me thy glory. And what is God's glory? It's his Son. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, this is. This is really all about the Savior, if you will. This is all about Christ. All the glory Moses is going to see is Jesus. And by the way, that word glory here in verse 18, it means await. W-E-I-G-H-T. Await something heavy. Well, why not? Go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and let's read about our weight of glory. And this is the truth. See, this is all bringing this to pass for us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, this will all bring it in. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is at the end of Moses' life, isn't it? God has brought in his heart, I'm going to give you, I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to show you my weight, this heaviness, if you will, this beauty of the value of glory. And Moses had a lot of afflictions in his life. There was a lot of trial that he came through. But look what it says here in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we know that these things by faith that we don't see are forever. So we're talking even about future. We're talking about a time to come. And I want you to kind of store that up because that's where we're going here. Remember that these are the things that shall be. These are the things that will surely come and come in the future. And once again, no wonder this type to us in what Moses was being prepared to see about my presence, the cherubim, and the rest, the camels. And remember, as we said, that this is kind of, if you will, a foreshadowing even of Moses' life. Someday he'll be part of that cloud. And he will come with the Lord to meet the bride in the air. Those friends will be with the bridegroom. And they will meet that bride, praise be to God. So, once again, isn't that so much of what the Word of God is? It's symbolic, if you will. It's a type, it's a shadow. Allegory, all these different things that we can call it, but these are things that showing us the things to come. And I want you to think about that because we're going to have another word here as we wrap this study up tonight. Now let's go on to verse 19 because it just gets more incredible all the time. Going back to chapter 33, verse 19. And so Moses has spoken all the time here. Now God's taken it over. Because Moses, again, as I told you, this is where I say, Moses, you didn't even realize what you were stepping into. You didn't get what God had been building in your heart for, if you will, decades and decades, you know. And he says to him, and God says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. This is getting even more magnificent and more exact in I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Amen. And this is why God is speaking of his glory. God is saying, I'm going to take all of my goodness and pass it before you. Isn't that something? He didn't say, I'm just going to go before you. He said, I'm going to take all of my goodness and pass it before you. Isn't that wonderful how he tells you? His desire for us is to be filled with all the fullness of God. How amazing is that? He was going to have that pass before Moses, but with us, he's going to put it in you. Come on. That's what I say. It's a better thing. We have exceeding great and precious promises here. But and he says, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord to you. What do we have? I'm going to write the name, and I'm going to write the new name upon you. Amen. Come on. This is so mighty. It's a beautiful thing. Once again, think about what Moses, by the grace of God, will be shown as part of that cloud company. Huh? Amen? Come on, get a vision of John the apostle. Same difference in a way to him, what he was shown. Amen? He was taken in spirit. He was something. He was shown the glory of God and what's going to be. It passed what? Before him. Passed before him. He was even speaking to it in a way because he bowed down and worshiped it. Huh? My presence shall go with thee. Oh, I pray every hair. I think my beard's going, doo. There you go, too. It's getting me tonight. Now, it's a beautiful thing here. How marvelous. It's incredible. God is speaking, if you will, in verse 19, of his glory. God is saying, I'll make all my glory pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. It's really as if you think about this, and if you really hear those words, as if God is speaking of someone else than himself, because he's speaking of his son. And here's why we know he's speaking of his son, because his son is his glory. And let's read over there in John chapter 1, verse 14. So kind of put it a little bit more in context, I think, for you. And you'll understand when he's saying, oh, I'm going to have all my goodness pass before you, and I'm going to proclaim the name. Watch this. It's so beautiful. In John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that beautiful? And we know the Word of God says that the glory of the Father is in the face of the Son. It's all there. So this is our God. And this always is our God that gives us all. Just like King Ahasuerus to Esther, nothing was withheld. And to us, praise God, nothing's withheld from us. Not just passing by glory, we'll be glorified together with him if we suffer together with him. Isn't that beautiful? See, it's not just beholding glory or glory passing by. We're bestowed the riches. We have the glory. Now again, not that we've already apprehended. I understand this, brothers and sisters. We're fighting the good fight of faith. We stand in this. That's all. By the grace of God, we stand. You put on the whole armor of God, you stand in it. You stand in what's been given. It's mine. Amen. He's already given it all to me. I stand. I hold fast the crown. Amen. I'm not trying to grab the crown. I hold it fast. You get that? That's why I'm understanding more and more. We stand in defense of it. I don't need to be offensive. I've got it. I stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. Praise his name. Now, And here's why, once again. Get this. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I'll have mercy. You're it. That's this again. Moses, you're it. We're it. We know this. And thanks be to God, we're it. We're it with even a better thing. Let's go on to verse 20. All right. And it says there, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now, this is really something. Now, the face of God is really something. As the word of God says to us, we behold it, that face, in a way, in a glass darkly. But soon it's going to be face to face. We see this, praise the Lord. But yet, you know, with Paul's gospel, you see, yea, the deep things of God, don't you? I see his face. You know what I'm saying. And you see it in such a fullness that you're just going to step into it. It's just like as we've studied Revelation and all these things in Paul's gospel, it's like we're already reading about our honeymoon and all these different things. And, you know, he sends us these wonderful slides and pictures and all of this. And then it's you even transcend time and amen. And I believe it in a twinkling of an eye. You're there. And he takes you there in the word, doesn't he? He takes you there. Praise be to God. I am thankful. Now, sometimes you kind of have to stop because that could really, some would be bothered. But brothers and sisters, as the word of God says, we cannot behold that glory, if you will, in a state of man. We have to have a body like unto his own. We couldn't see it and still hold together. We couldn't contain it. We almost can't now as the Spirit reveals the deep things of God, but his love does constrain us. And that is the beautiful thing. It does. It holds us together from going completely nuts. And amen to that. All right, verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Isn't this marvelous? It's so wonderful. Yes, the beautiful place by him, his son, the rock. And we stand on the rock that is higher than I. Amen. So we see all of this playing out for us. There's no way to ever see God's glory without Jesus, because he is his glory. Yes, he's the glory of God. And by being raised with him, he's put every child of God there with full opportunity to see it. Do you understand that? God is no respecter of person. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are raised and you are seated together with him in the heavens. You have that place. You have that place. You have that opportunity. But only by faith do we inherit the promises. Think of that. Think about the worthies of faith. Amen? Isn't that how every one of them inherited those promises? Why? How? By faith. Wasn't by works. How many others were there at those moments with them? But yet, most times there was just a one, just a handful, just a rib portion. But they inherited by faith, by believing God. Right now in this age, praise God, it's a marvelous thing in Christ. If you will, this marvelous age that's passing by us too, that glory passed by Moses, this glory, if you will, for this age is going to about be gone. Don't let it pass you by. You see what I'm saying? You want to see this, it'll be gone. Now, verse 22, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Now, this is the state, if you will, of desiring God's glory, is realizing the beauty of being held in the cliff of the rock. He holds us there, brothers and sisters, away from fear, away from harm, away from doubt. He protects. We can be right in the fiery furnace, but we're right there in the cliff of the rock. That's the hand of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice this, though. It's so beautiful because, see, Jesus is the glory of God. And once again, put in that place, he protects us. And as God says, I'm going to take my hand away, and you're going to see the back parts. He's got to get you alone with him to show you things like that, doesn't he? Remember how he said, I'm going to take you, son. You're going to go up to this mount. Nobody's going to follow you. I'm going to take you alone. This is how you see these things. And I pray that we get this. But glory is worked here. I take this too as we close this up. Glory is worked through trials and through adversity. Glory is worked through things that we could never endure. Seeing the glory of God, you couldn't endure it. That's why he had to put him in the cleft of the rock. Being the glory of God, amen? That's why he's got to put you in the cleft of the rock. That's why he had to put you in his pierced side. That's the rib. See, you're pierced, it hurts, but you're in him. It's beautiful. He has us, you know, and he keeps us there to see these things. And we could never endure without being placed there. And then God, it says, has placed us by the blood in the cleft of the rock, Jesus, in Christ. And then in that, the Father's hand is upon us. And isn't that wonderful, as the Word of God says, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. It's always the same protection. Always. Reminds me of them glass blowers I talk about many times. You know, they get that glass and they spin it around. But when they're really going to do the last parts of it, they put it in that furnace, which is the hottest of the hot. And they put it in, it's called the glory hole. Most beautiful thing. And it's as hot or hotter than parts surfaces of the sun. You can barely look in there. But if you look in there just right, it's a time when the glass and the colors in that glass, you'll never see them like that. They're just stunning. They sparkle, they shine, and all these things. And you would think, my goodness, it's just going to melt off that rod and just fall all over the place. But somehow the Master's hand keeps it all together. They take that and they spin that just right. Right when you think it's going to just completely fall apart. Nope. And then they blow in that thing as well too. And you'll see it expand. Amen. It is beautiful. I think of that as the breath of the Spirit as it comes in. And, you know, sometimes we feel like we're done and then, amen. All right, let's close it up. Verse 23. This will be another highlight for us to meditate on if the Lord tarry till we go to 34. And then 34 is, I mean, you're there. You really are. Because, well, it's hard not to keep going. 23, it says, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, the back parts here means more than just seeing the backside. This word back part in the Hebrew, it means a latter time or the future. What Moses is going to see is the latter time or the future. And that's really what the Lord's been getting at, and what he's been showing to us is what Moses has seen in a way for us is Moses has seen glory in a future time. He's going to behold that glory. Praise God. You're going to see how beautiful this is, because chapter 34, he's going to say, you be ready in the morning. You know, those friends have to get ready in the morning to come see his glory. Amen, they do. They got to travel with him. They got a meeting in the air. They got to go get that bride that's ready. So, once again, just like the Apostle Paul, all the glory, not the Apostle Paul, excuse me, Apostle John, all the glory passed before him. See, the glory of God is going to be revealed at a latter time and in the future, as it tells us. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us. John 16:3, it says that the Holy Ghost reveals things to come. Amen. Do you know that? It's the same Holy Ghost here. That's how he deals with us. And that's what the Holy Ghost is for. He reveals those things to come. And we know it's going to be in due time he'll exalt us. We know that after we suffer a while, the glory that shall be revealed. We know that all creation is even groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God. And that time, by the grace of God, is literally upon us. And that is something only the Holy Ghost can do and only the Holy Ghost can show. And it's only going to be seen by those that are in love. And once again, that's all that the only thing that the Holy Ghost can do. And that's shed the love of God abroad in our hearts to see it. And when you're in love, there's one thing that true love does. It waits. It waits. True love, sure, it anticipates. It can be a little anxious in a way. But it waits. And it's patient. And true love only waits for that one thing. And just like Moses, it's coming. And next week, as he tells Moses, son, be ready in the morning. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Good night in him. Amen. And wonderful to lay your head on a pillow and go to bed dreaming about our day. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, be dismissed.